Well, let's turn in our Bibles back to Romans and chapter 1. And we're going to think this morning about the 16th verse. It is our pattern on the first Sunday morning of the month to step aside from our normal studies and to think about verses perhaps that explain the gospel, that are evangelistic in nature. And over the last 4 years, that's meant that we've been in the Gospels, thinking about Jesus, thinking about his words. I think we spent one year of Sunday mornings thinking about the I Ams, didn't we? We've spent a year of Sunday mornings thinking about the people that Jesus met. We've spent time on the miracles. We've spent time on the parables. And we've spent, I think, probably the last 4 years of our family services in the Gospels. Well, because we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer over the next Sunday mornings, on other mornings of the month, we'll step outside of the Gospels this year. And I thought perhaps what we could do on these Sunday mornings is to think about some of the great verses in Paul's letter to the Romans. And we'll begin by looking at verse 16. I suppose we could call this little mini-series, What Has Romans Done For Us? There was a very famous sketch, wasn't there, 50, 60 years ago. What did the Romans ever do for us? And in comical fashion, the Monty Python team reminded us of all the things that the Romans did for us. Well, what has the epistle to the Romans done for us? The truths that the epistles to the Romans declares for us, I wonder if they've had an impact upon our lives. And that must be true about verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's why Paul has come to preach. That's why he wrote this epistle. That's what he spent his life proclaiming. And so this morning, let's just look at that verse, and I want to pick out four words from that verse. And I want you to try and understand those four words. I want you to think about those four words. You know, if we've grasped the four words that I'm going to think about this morning, we've grasped what the Bible's message is. We pray that God will speak to each one of us this morning, that we might believe those things. Because in believing those things, we have everlasting life, the Bible says. So first of all, notice that one of the important words of the Bible is there in verse 16. It's the word gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, that's a word that we use a lot, don't we? And we use it sometimes. We might even misuse it. So somebody, we might be telling a story to somebody, and they might express some doubt about the story that we're telling them and say, no, honestly, it's gospel. It's gospel. That's a phrase we use as if to underline the truthfulness of what we're saying. And we hope perhaps that they'll believe the story that we're telling if we tell them that it's gospel. Well, the gospel is truth, but that's not the main meaning of the words. The main meaning of the word is it's good news. Is it news for us? Good news for us. Now, in a sense, we should prick up our ears when we hear that, because we live in a world that's full of bad news, isn't it? Think about some of the things that have been on the news this week. Thinking about stabbings, thinking about that awful attack on that woman with the acid or whatever it was. We think about what's going on in our world. We think about what's happening in the Middle East. Think about what's happening in Ukraine. Thinking what's happening even closer to home. There is so much bad news, isn't there? Well, here, what we're thinking about this morning is good news. And it's not just good news, but it's divine good news. You know, that word gospel appeared in those verses before we get to verse 16, didn't we? Verse 1, called to be an apostle, Paul says, separated to the gospel of God. So this is God's good news. God has good news for you this morning. God has good news for men and women. Men and women here, Men and women in Israel, men and women in Albania, men and women in Australia, men and women in the Ukraine, whatever we might think of this morning, God has good news, and it's God's good news. Now, if God has good news, it's going to be greater, better news than any good news that we might have from individuals. We like to hear good news from different people, don't we? People ring us up, they've got some good news for us. Perhaps a baby has been born, a couple have got engaged, somebody has got the job they wanted, whatever it might be. But here is God's good news. And it's good news that's centered around Jesus. Look at what verse 9 says. For God is my spirit, whom I serve with, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. You see, God's good news is centered around Jesus, is centered around his Son, the Son that he gave, the Son that left the glory of heaven and came into this world. And the good news that we have, the good news that the Bible declares, is good news that is centered around Jesus. And so the question that comes to us immediately this morning is, am I willing to hear the good news? Have I heard the good news? Have I responded to the good news? Let's look at another word that's in this verse. It's the word power. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Now, again, that's important, isn't it? We're being reminded again that there is power in this. We need something powerful. We need a good news that is powerful, because the world is full of bad news. And the world is full of things that are bad. And here is this picture of power. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that Paul is writing this to Rome. He's writing this to a group of Christians who are in Rome. Romans differs to lots of the other letters that Paul wrote, because most of the other letters, probably all of the other letters, are to churches that he's already visited. Writing to them to add to what he's preached to them, to answer their questions, to keep in touch with them. Romans is different because Paul hasn't been to Rome yet. He'll end up in Rome. He'll die in Rome. But he hasn't been there yet. But when he writes to Rome about power, that's a bit like taking coals to Newcastle, isn't it? Because Rome was the centre of power. This is around about the time, 50, 60 AD, when the Roman Empire was at its strongest. It spread all across Europe, all across the south of Europe, as far as here in Wales, didn't it? So we can go out to Caerleon, can't we, or to Caerwent, and we can see the power of the Roman Empire. It's in the dust now, isn't it? It's in ruins now, because it's an earthly power. And all earthly powers end up in dust and end up in ruins. But you can see the effect of the Roman Empire, not just in Europe, but all across North Africa and even into Asia. It was a mighty empire. It was the mighty empire of the day. It was the most powerful power in the world at the time. But you notice Paul writes about an even more powerful power, doesn't he? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And you see, it's divine power that we need if we're going to have good news. It's divine power that is necessary. Our brother who's going to come and speak to us on Wednesday afternoon, I've not met him, but I've read his life story. I've read the resume of the sort of man he is. And just what I read to you this morning reminds us of the power of God, doesn't it? Here's a man who was involved in all of these things, involved in gang crime, involved in drug addiction. But it was the gospel of Christ that liberated him. It was the power of God who transformed him. And this verse and these truths can transform us as well, because there is a power There is lure power in the gospel. The Greek word that's used here is the word dunamos. And we all know what words we get from that word, don't we? So we think about dynamite. And we know how dynamite has this great destructive power. How it is able to blow apart the most solid of structures. We think perhaps nowadays of the modern equivalents. Think of Semtex, or we think about the plastic explosives, or we think about those explosive devices we hear about in places like Afghanistan and so on. Power, destructive power. But then we think about how else we might use that word. So we might talk about a dynamo, or we might talk about something that's dynamic. And that's a much more positive thing, isn't it? Something that imparts power. Something where power is centered. You know, my friends, the gospel needs to destroy things in our lives first. But then it has the power to rebuild us. And it has the power to change us. And it has the power to enable us to go on living in a way that pleases God. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Then there's a third really important word in this verse, isn't there? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. It's the power of God to salvation. Now, you see, in many ways, the Bible, what we center our worship on here, what I preach from Sunday by Sunday, what our hymns are based around, our Bible is a handbook of salvation. It's about salvation. You see, the gospel, the power of God, is for our salvation. It's not for our destruction. When we think about dynamite, as we said, it blows apart, it destroys, it breaks up. But you see, this powerful gospel, this powerful good news, is about salvation for us. Now, why do we need salvation? Because we're sinners. Because we've broken God's law. Because we stand condemned under the wrath of a holy God. The rest of chapter 1 of Romans, we didn't go on to read it today. If you were here a few weeks ago when Paul Baxter was preaching, when he came from Usk just before Christmas, he preached on the rest of Romans chapter 1, and he reminded us of the evidence that as a nation we're under God's wrath at the moment. You know, more fearful even than that is that you and I are under God's wrath outside Christ because we're sinners, because we've said things and thought things and done things, because our attitudes are wrong. We're under God's condemnation. But you see, the good news from God, the good news that centers in Jesus, the good news that is powerful, is that we can be saved. Salvation is a lovely word, isn't it? We often think about earthly types of salvation. We perhaps see a helicopter at the coastline, or we might see a lifeboat going out in stormy weather. And we know that the helicopter and the lifeboat are about salvation, aren't they? There's somebody who's in trouble. There's somebody who's going to drown. There's somebody who's been swept out to sea. But salvation is on its way. Or we might see a fire engine. There might be a building that's alight and there are people in the upstairs rooms and they can't get it out. And the fire engine comes. What's the fire engine doing? It's about salvation, isn't it? There are people who need to be saved. They need to be saved from earthly danger. You know, my friends, God sent his Son into the world to save us eternally. To save us from eternal death. To save us from judgment. To save us from hell. To save us from the wrath of a holy God. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. You see, the Bible tells us that this world is made up of two types of people. Those who've been saved and those who need to be saved. This congregation here this morning is made up of two types of people. Those who've been saved and those who need to be saved. Those who are already in God's kingdom, have already had their sins forgiven, already have peace with God, already have everlasting life, already a part of his family, so they're able to cry out, "Our Father," and those who are not yet in that place. And you're in one of those groups this morning. You're either this morning with the Apostle Paul saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God, because it saved me." Or you need to be saved. You need to receive God's gift of salvation. You need to come in faith. Now, where are you? Which group are you in this morning? Are you in the saved or are you still unsaved? Where do you stand on this verse this morning? Well, maybe you say to me, "You know what? I think I'm perhaps still in the second group." Maybe you say to me this morning, I want to come from the second group into the first group. I really recognize I need this good news. I really recognize that I need the power of God because I've tried all sorts of other ways to reform my life and to make me a better person, and it's not worked. And rather than power, there's been weakness and frailty. I need the power of God. I need to be saved. Well, that's where the fourth key word in this verse comes in. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's what it is. That's how we come from death to life. That's how we come from being lost to being saved. That's how we come from the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom. That's how we go from hell to heaven. That's how we go from being under God's condemnation to liberty and freedom. It is through believing in Jesus Christ. The verse that follows takes us through that, doesn't it? It's about faith. It's about believing in Christ. Paul builds his theology on an Old Testament verse. He's not establishing something new. He's reminding us how it had always been and how it always will be. You see, salvation isn't about making a pilgrimage. It isn't about going to a place, physical place. Salvation isn't about giving money to the poor. Salvation isn't about trying to make sure that our good works outweigh our bad works. The Bible says believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Put your trust in him. Come to him acknowledging that you can't save yourself, that you need a power that comes from God, that only God can change you, and that there is good news for you in Jesus Christ, the Christ who came and lived and died and rose again. And here, and as I'm sure we'll see as we go through the rest of Romans again and again, we are reminded that we need to believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so this morning, even where you are, sat in the pew this morning, or perhaps a little later as you go home, sit and ask God. Tell God you need that salvation. Ask God to show his power in your life. Come to him and say, "I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me, and that if I put my trust in him, my sins can be forgiven." And you know, the Bible says that when that happens, we have life, and we have life everlasting. Well, may God bless those four words to us this morning, and may they bring us. What can Romans do for us? Well, it can bring us to that place of faith and trust in Jesus and God's salvation.